There's much to focus on in this gospel story. And yet, the thing that we would probably miss as we explored this story is Peter's response. Jesus said, "Let down your nets," as they moved out into the deeper water. And Peter said, "We've labored here all night. This is, you know, might as well give up on fishing. There's nothing swimming." I've sat out on Upchurch Lake when there was a lake, when there was nothing to catch. I don't know. I'm not much of a fisherman, but people tell me sometimes it'd be so hot the fish aren't biting, and this, that, and the other. But you know, got a good sunburn. But that's about all I brought home. You just know that today you're not going to get a bite, and that's the way Peter felt. And Jesus said, "Throw out your nets." And he said, "Well, I'll do it because you say so." But he didn't do it with a great deal of confidence. He didn't do it with any real hope. He did it because this man, Jesus, was different. And then they pulled in so many that two boats were about to sink. They were holding so much. But to me, the beauty of that story is Peter falling down before Jesus and realizing he was in the presence of something special. He was in the presence of something holy. That he was awed by the presence of God in Christ. Same thing happened to Isaiah in the passage this morning. As in a dream, in a vision, he was transported to the heavenly realm. And he beheld what no one's supposed to see. And when you see God in all his glory, the only response is, "Woe is me. I'm not worthy." You know, I can't remember the name of the movie, but you know, it was probably something like Dumb and Dumber. It was one of those kind of silly movies. But, you know, where a couple of guys just go, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." I don't know whether it was on TV or what. But it was a little mantra. And that was comedic. Here were two people, centuries apart, who knew they were in the presence of holiness. And they were awed by that presence. And they realized who they were in that presence. I suppose there's no other time that I've been so awed than the times that I work with people with healings of memories. I've done this maybe 30, 40 times. I've lost count now. Where people are carrying so much pain, sometimes pain almost of a lifetime, pain that is spiritual pain, is emotional pain, is psychological pain, and pain they have lived with for years. And in spite of therapy and good wishes of family and friends and discussing with people who were friends and confidants, the pain's still there. And I guess that's what drove me to find a way to reach out to people. But I'm constantly and continually awed when someone encounters the living Lord in those painful moments of their lives. You know, I know it's happened before. When I offer it to somebody, I usually tell them a story that maybe is related to the story they've told me to encourage them to move forward in faith. And they're awed and overwhelmed by the presence of that God in Christ that comes to them, touches them, heals them, and makes the ugly beautiful and the painful healed. And the dismal, hopeful. They're awed. And I'm still awed. And I'm not even experiencing firsthand. I'm awed that I can sit there by the person and know what a God. What have I done to be worthy to be sitting here today in this moment? When have you been awed by the presence of the living God to the point that you were just dumbfounded. Go back in your memory. Was there a time when you were awed by the Holy Presence? When you were overwhelmed by knowing how near you were to the Spirit of God? How at one and the same moment you're thrilled and somehow feel so unworthy for something that wonderful. You see, our God wants us to experience that. We don't experience it every day or every week or even every year. But when have you drawn into the holy presence of God that if you've just experienced that truly once in a lifetime, you know you shall never forget it? We don't have to wait until we're dead and gone on to the kingdom to experience the awe of the presence of the Holy God. Isaiah experienced it in a vision. Peter experienced it there that day when he realized who this man really was, and then he left everything and followed Jesus. You know, the passage in Isaiah said, you know, go out and talk to him. And God's being a little sarcastic here, I think. He says, go out and talk to the people and say what I say so their minds won't comprehend, their ears won't hear, their eyes won't believe. Because, see, God can do some unbelievable things in our lives if we just believe it. And if we haven't had that kind of awesome experience, then we need to pray fervently that God will become so real to us that we will experience what the saints have experienced it through the ages. I had a hard day yesterday. I was moving and loading hay all day. If you've noticed, there's a big bundle in the back of my truck. I got home after dark. It was too dark to unload it. And I was so tired. I said, boy, am I going to sleep tonight. Have you ever had one of those nights you dreamed so much you were actually tired? You know, I mean, I woke up a couple of times and I said, Lord, I really need this rest. Why am I having these dreams? And then when I got up this morning, you know, our dreams sometimes are a little crazy. But I realized there was a pattern in my dream last night, because before I went to bed, I had my mind on the scripture. And I realized that the man in my dream and all of these dream sequences I was having was doing some of the most amazing things. I was in awe of this man. Other people were in awe of this man. Other people were doing things that they didn't believe they were capable of doing. And somehow this man brought that excitement, that possibility out of them. Just being in his presence. Even stuff that was negative was somehow turned into something positive. And I realized this morning, that's the awesome presence of God. That God does so much more than the man in my dreams. But that's how God is. That everything God is involved with is an awesome thing, a transforming thing, a miraculous thing. And then I thanked him for that kind of tiring night of dreams. Because I said, yes, Lord, that's the way you are. And more so, because I can't possibly capture your beautiful and awesome nature. But I want to be as close to it as I possibly can. Peter left everything in search of that presence. How much do you want to be in awe of the presence of the living God? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for telling us about how people have responded to you and your holiness and your greatness. We want you to be more real to us than just someone we read about in a book or talk about with pious platitudes and churchy sounding talk. We want you to be so real in our lives that at least once in our lives we're just awed and dumbfounded by your holy presence. So that we know that you're so real, so great, so wonderful that we shall never forget what this journey of faith is all about. And if we're lucky, maybe we'll be awed by that presence time and time again before we see it in its fullness when we join you in the kingdom. Bless us on our journey. May we always experience the awe of your presence. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.